Welcome back to the Alex Jones Show here on InfoWars Sunday Night Live. I'm your guest host, Royce White, in the belly of the beast, Minneapolis, Minnesota. Got you for the next 2 hours or so. It's an honor and privilege to be back with you again. Breaking this week, 3 million pages of the Epstein files released. It's a gold mine, to say the least. I mean, where to even begin? We're just starting to scour through these 3 million pages of Epstein documents and the videos and the photographs. And top of the news, I saw that Benny Johnson reported on it as well, but it would appear that Bill Gates was treated for an STD, banging Russian girls. I mean, that's just the tip of the iceberg, really. I actually thought the bird lead so far from what I've seen is the freight forwarding agreements. Very interesting piece there, these FFAs, and the idea that the Jewish elite in this country, can we even say Jewish elite? I don't know. They're going to call me anti-Semitic. My Republican, now declared Republican U.S. Senate opponent, Michelle Tafoya, who is a darling of Fox News, which you could only assume will mean she will be a darling of AIPAC as well. Another buried lead is that Ilhan Omar, Mrs. Free Palestine, radical Muslim jihadist, endorses Amy Klobuchar for Minnesota governor. It should be very odd to everybody out there. So when we find out some of these, sort of under the table backdoor connections, actually it shouldn't surprise. It doesn't surprise the people that are watching this show or this network, but it would surprise most people. Or maybe most people don't even really care. It's hard to tell. It's hard to tell. We're living in crazy times. But it kept me up last night thinking how Free Palestine Ilhan Omar finds herself endorsing AIPAC darling Amy Klobuchar for Minnesota governor. Isn't there the slightest contradiction there? I don't know. I mean, people like me and Alex Jones have been saying that we're on every side of the trade and that there's a lot of double crossing and triple crossing going on there in that region with regards to Israel and God knows Mossad as well. And we got a little peek into this because, if you're arguing whether or not, if you're still undecided of whether or not Jeffrey Epstein was a intelligence asset, then you're probably an asshole, is what you are. You're a jerk off, and not the Jeffrey Epstein kind. I mean, you're a special kind of jerk off. You're a jerk off that doesn't even get the payoff. I mean, that's a weird, kinky thing in and of itself. No pun intended. It's kind of apropos to what we're talking about here. But if you're wondering whether or not he was an intelligence asset, I think that's a foregone conclusion, or it should be at least. Very interesting insight. These forward freight agreements. And I'll tell you why. And I'm going to be talking about this on the other side of the break as well. But these forward freight agreements, and there's a canary in the coal mine here about British Admiralty law, which we're going to talk about here over the course of the 2 hours. British Admiralty law still in effect. The British Empire still a dominant force in the way that international trade is governed, let's say. So we're going to be talking about British Admiralty law and the implications that there is a wealthy Jewish elite that are either shorting or investing in the market for international logistics trade. I mean, it's kind of the back end of trade, right? I mean, we don't normally think of trade in those terms. So we're going to be talking about a lot of things over the course of the 2 hours, but it might feel a little anti-Semitic if you're sensitive to this kind of thing, and God forbid you aren't, but I don't really care one way or another. We're going to talk about what we have to talk about, the elephant in the room, Jeffrey Epstein, 3 million documents released. I'm your host, Royce White, in the belly of the beast. We'll be back in a moment.
I love knives. I know you love knives. They have finally gotten a whole bunch of the knives that were sold out back in, and they've gotten a bunch of new, really nice flip knives. These bad boys right here. I mean, these are absolutely amazing. Flip really easy and locks for you. This is forest green, murdered out. It's got my little signature on it, so it's a little piece of history. It's a great memento. It's a great gift for your friends and family, and it funds the operation. And they're up to 50% off right now at thealexjonesstore.com. While you're there, get some ultramethylene blue.
What do you got there, Angel Eyes?
It's a new Patriot Silver folding knife from thealexjonesstore.com.
Hey, Blondie, look at me. I got all three.
You are listening to an InfoWars.com frontline report. If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
Welcome back to the Alex Jones Show here on InfoWars Sunday Night Live. I'm your host, Royce White. I'm in the belly of the beast, Minneapolis, Minnesota. And Minnesota has become ground zero for American politics yet again. We are seeing the genuine psyop playing out where American citizens protest on behalf of the globalist elites, the multinationals, to crush their own wages and make their own cities and streets more dangerous. Go figure. Affluent female white urban liberals, also known as awfuls, making America's streets more dangerous by the day. And they are willing to, it would appear they're willing to kill themselves in order to keep these illegal immigrants in the city of Minneapolis, in the state of Minnesota. Quite a sight to behold when you see these awfuls, these white liberal women out in the wild. Quite a sight to behold. But the elephant in the room, I mean, we always knew it was going to come back to an issue about Israel and whether or not we can discuss anybody Jewish with any scrutiny whatsoever. And of course, the short answer is no, you can't. I mean, it's not by accident. It's not by accident by any means that people who want to deport illegal immigrants, people who support immigration enforcement, people who support an increase of immigration enforcement in major metropolitan areas that were made sanctuary cities to illegal immigration. People who support that kind of thing are once again being called Nazis, Gestapo. And then for, you know, your stupid goyim. Oh, I mean deplorable. Oh, I mean Negro. Oh, I mean American citizen like myself, who say, hey, I think we should be deporting illegal immigrants as well. You know, like the three guys who were shooting automatic weapons there in California on an interstate. I think we should get these people out of the country. Just maybe we should get them out of the country. And we're called Nazis, Gestapo, bootlicker. Interesting. Interesting that we're likened to Nazis if we want to have a border or a country or we value citizenship. You know, it's not by accident that these things coincide, that these things are unfolding all at once. And, you know, I get called anti-Semitic by the Republican Party, or let's say friends of the Republican Party, organizations aligned with the Republican Party, affiliates of the Republican Party more than anybody else. This is, again, in the last block before we went to break, I made a comment about Michelle Tafoya, and I'll let you decide for yourself. I mean, let's just put it on out there. Anybody who's on Fox News is awful. Fox News might as well be the Times of Israel. You know, Fox News is a deep state controlled opposition rag is what it is. And it really is. And I've said this before and I'll say it again. I kind of feel like until alternative media and until the American people are awake enough on the right where Fox News doesn't still have the dominant hand in fundraising, exposure, and determining who wins Republican Party primaries. Yeah, we're not America first. No, we're not America first. We're globalists first. And seated in that globalist sort of mentality, we end up being Israel first. And if that makes me persona non grata in the conservative movement, if there's too many evangelical Christians out there who don't like me to say the word Israel with any scrutiny or Jewish with any scrutiny or Epstein with any connection to the previous two terms, you know, well, that's how you get Zora Mamdani. Oh, wait, I think a picture surfaced. Can we pull that up there in the control room? Did I see that a picture surfaced of Zoran Mamdani's mother? Really chummy with Epstein. I mean, really chummy. Like, they might have had a little bit of a romance going on there. Interesting. Interesting that your Bill Crystals, you know, your sort of conservative thought leaders who are very proto-globalists. Bill Crystal, I remember in the final weeks of Mamdani's run for New York City mayor, Bill Crystal jumped out of nowhere and I like Zora Mamdani. Like a lot of these young progressives, they're very impressive, he said. And I was thinking to myself, is it Bill Crystal? Neoconservative Bill Crystal? Neocon Bill Crystal? The rise of Islam will destroy the Western world, Bill Crystal and his father, William Crystal? Mamdani? What is the connection? Oh, you know, Bill Crystal and his father were Trotskyites, and there is a proto-communist Islamic movement. But it also involves, like the great and late Charlie Kirk said once, it also involves quite a few Jewish billionaires, quite a few Jewish elites here in our country, neck deep, it would seem, in the communist jihadist alliance. And there you have right there is a picture of Zora Mamdani's mother, and you have little Zoran there in her arms, and you have Jeffrey Epstein. Elephant in the room. I mean, is there a society behind the society? I don't know, God. When you watch me here on Sunday evenings, I just want to be able to tell you in full confidence that I have never been in these sort of circles. It's almost astonishing to watch and to see. It's like we know that these things are going on, but when you get a firsthand look, when you get that, and again, now let's be clear. Let's be fair. We can only hope that all of these documents are authentic. We know that the DOJ has gone through all of these documents, or else they would have been out a long time ago. So that much is clear. So we can almost assume that they've been authenticated. But how do we really know? I mean, do we really know? We don't really know. That's the sad and scary part is we're calling for these documents to be released. We want these documents to be released. We want to get a better idea of what's going on with Jeffrey Epstein. But the reality is we don't know how much of this stuff is real or not. And a lot of it's still redacted. We know the 3 million documents that surfaced. You got a lot of accusations. You know, there are a lot of mentions of President Trump from accusers. But as Jeffrey Epstein would indicate throughout the dossier, the documents that have been released, that President Trump was never involved in anything untoward with any of the young women. So you get some points for, you know, several points go to President Trump in the release of this entire thing. And I will say that if this was going to be really damaging to President Trump, I would venture to guess that these files probably wouldn't have been released. Let's just say that. He released them because he was confident to some degree. And look, Epstein touched a lot of people, I never came into contact with them. But I'm sure if I had played 15 years in the NBA and, you know, they had tried to, you know, give me a sort of superficial crown and put me in a dress and you end up on all the commercials with all of the great endorsements and all of the high society wine mixers and, you know, eyes wide shut parties, then maybe Epstein and I might have crossed paths. Like, he's obviously crossed paths with some who's who's of international entertainers. Jay-Z mentioned in these files, Pusha T, another, household name in the rap world. William Barr. As we all said, hey, you know, William Barr's father giving Jeffrey Epstein, his first job there in teaching seems conspicuous given that William Barr was the attorney general when Epstein, you know, took his last breaths there. Conspicuous. Now we see William Barr mentioned in some of these accusations as well. It's just a strange crew of people hanging out here, like Zoran Mamdani's mother. And how Zoran Mamdani ends up connected to it, I mean, are you kidding me? Not on my 2026 bingo card whatsoever. Maybe some of you out there are smarter than me. Surely, you know, I'd have to go back and watch all of the Alex Jones coverage, and maybe he mentioned something like this at some point in time. That wouldn't surprise me because the guy's a crystal ball. But for your average person who's like, hey, you know, hemispheric defense, we got to close our border, deport the illegal immigrants, no more PACs and lobbies, you know, salary caps on the Congress, you know, let's bring down property tax in question, income tax, you know, these kind of nuts and bolts things that would bring prosperity back to the American working class. People like me, I'm not paying attention enough. And so now I'm going to have to scour through these 3 million documents. I mean, geez. Oh, the homework. If it wasn't enough that Minneapolis is just right on the edge of becoming the first true battleground of the second American Civil War, now we have Epstein files as long as train smoke. We got to do what we got to do. We got to handle the fight on all fronts when it's presented to us. That's just part of being an American citizen. It's a part of that rugged individualism we have to embrace. It is what it is. You know, don't resign from it. I can tell you one thing, and I will say this again. We all knew that this elephant in the room was going to become an issue, and it's an issue. It's an issue. The problem with it is, and I do think this is going to become a problem for us, depending on how even this is dealt with, you know, Epstein in many ways becomes a MacGuffin. You know, it's, I say this the other day on the show, it's like the Maltese Falcon. And it's like the nukes in Iran. It's a MacGuffin. It's a literary device. It's meant to push the plot forward in theater or in cinema and television. It's not the real plot. There's not really the Maltese Falcon isn't really about a falcon, right? And Epstein in a way becomes that because no answer satisfies anybody. It's an endless pit. And great, let's pick each document out. Let's get to the bottom of it. This thing about the Goyim and just constantly joking about the stupid Goyim. Well, obviously the Goyim and the deplorables need to link hands here. You know, let's get the Goyim, the deplorables, the InfoWars, the war room posses, the Negroes from down on Fifth and Martin Luther King Boulevard. Let's join hands and take this country back from these, you know, multinational impresarios who it would appear quite obviously were blackmailing the very elite of us, Bill Gates being one of them. And then people had the audacity to talk about how much credibility Bill Gates has. Oh, he's such a credible figure, isn't he? Isn't he such a credible guy? What are they going to say now? Imagine you stuck an experimental vaccine in your body, in your arm, in your body, on the good word of Bill Gates and his close friend, Dr. Fauci, to read these documents now. You know, Bill Gates needing a good old fashioned Z-Pack there for a case of the clap, it would appear. Slipping Melinda an antibiotic cocktail. He's playing bridge with these escorts. I mean, what What is going on here? What is going on? There's some freaky stuff going on here. And I don't pass judgment on people in their sexual lives because it's none of my business. You know, we need to get out of the sexual politics business. But and that would be my recommendation for America under normal circumstances. If we're going to give our country over to sexual politics, I can tell you almost certainly who's going to win. Jeffrey Epstein's are going to win. And this cocksucker doesn't die. I mean, he was so neck deep in sexual perversion with the who's who's of international influential people. He's become immortal. And it's something that we're going to have to deal with now. He is immortalized. I mean, there's nothing. Jeffrey Epstein will never be purged from the annals of history. No pun intended. He'll never be purged from the annals of history now because of how many people he was connected to and who he touched. Who he touched, who he didn't touch, who he facilitated touching. I don't know. But signal from the noise. Future freight agreements. British Admiralty law. We're going to talk about it on the other side of the second half of this hour. I want to dig deep into this British Admiralty law because I think a lot of people, maybe the InfoWars crew knows, but your average American citizen doesn't even realize that much of our international trade and the logistics and the shipping routes are still governed mostly by British Admiralty law. And then you see Epstein make a claim, just matter of fact. I mean, just kind of casually that the Jews make money by betting futures on freight agreements and legit. I mean, it kind of, we're vindicated. I mean, we're vindicated. There is an international Zionist conspiracy directly linked to the, you know, the, the economic business model of globalization. That's what he said. I mean, without saying it, that's what he's saying. He's saying that that there is money to be made. There's a margin to be made. There's a profit to be made simply by betting on the futures of shipping agreements. If you understand the routes, if you understand the relationships, the trade agreements, if you understand where certain things are shifting geopolitically, you can bet futures on these routes and make a pretty penny, make a nice fortune on that alone. Should we not talk about that? I mean, are we anti-Semitic? Are we anti, when a Jewish man who has obvious connections to Israeli intelligence, who are all proto-Zionists, is it still anti-Semitic for us to talk about Jeffrey Epstein in an explicitly Jewish context when he himself did it in these emails? Because I know if a black man, like, let's say, post-mortem, God forbid, post-mortem, the Royce White emails pop up, and Royce says, you know, how blacks make money. You know, we find us a single mom, and we get her to go down there to the county and get on welfare, and then we trade, we swap her food stamps for cash. That's how black people get money in America. I mean, if we said that, people would be like, oh man, we need to be investigating some of these black mothers. We need to be investigating some of these black folks. We need to be open investigation to some black people, because Roy said that there's a lot of black people and he knows they would at least investigate the black people close to me. You know, like the Somali fraud, right? It's like, oh, we're going to be investigating some Somalis here in Minnesota. Sorry, we're not sorry. A few of you bad apples, few of you bad hombres in the Somali community just put a huge target on the Somali community's back. It's just prudent. It's prudent law enforcement for us to investigate when there's such a disproportionate amount of fraud. Well, it would seem we need to be looking into this international. I mean, President Trump, DOJ, are we going to be looking into this Ford future agreements? Now, it's not illegal, and that's, you know, maybe that's the maybe that's the out, right? I mean, maybe that's the justification. It's actually not illegal to bet on shipping futures. It's perfectly legal part of the financial market. But the connection between American citizens or dual citizens, you know, having too much influence in the government, or let's say certain agencies that oversee regulatory power of shipping and logistics laws and things like that, may be a little bit of conflict of interest that we find down the trough, up and down the trough there. And we'll be talking about British Admiralty law in the second half of the hour. I want people to understand you are still governed by British Admiralty law. That's why people like me keep saying, we say over and over and over again, you're not European. You're not European. Yeah. And yes, the British Empire has a heavy hand. Heavy hand. In the dogma of globalization and globalism. Heavy hand the British Empire has, because British Admiralty law is still the law of the seas. The British Empire, the sun never sets on the British Empire. Now it appears the sun may never set on this Epstein scandal. And all roads lead to, there was an exchange between my mentor, Steve Bannon, and Epstein, allegedly, in these emails. And Steve is talking to him, and Steve says, all roads lead to Beijing, which is a perfectly reasonable sentiment for Steve to say. And most of you know him the same way as I do, as a China hawk. And Jeffrey Epstein's response was, or all roads lead to Tel Aviv, with a wink. Because I talked to Steve so often and you know, we messaged. It's funny. There was nothing else in the exchange. And it's funny just because I know Steve so well. If you say something to him that he has no appetite for, he just won't message you back. He'll never message you back and say, yeah, what you're saying is stupid, or yeah, it's not worth anything, it's not worth my time. He doesn't do it like that. If you say something to him in a message and he's got no appetite for it, he just got cold, just leaves you dead. And that's what happened, right? So, I mean, but all roads lead to Tel Aviv. See, there's going to be an entire group of people now that were involved with Jeffrey Epstein in some way, shape, or form that now lend insight in just how deep this rabbit hole goes. Just how deep this rabbit hole goes. It's going to be a lot of people now that had close contact with Jeffrey Epstein that can give us insight. What does he mean when he says all roads lead to Tel Aviv? And he's, you know, casually using the word goyim throughout the emails. You know, it's a stupid goyim and deplorables here in America. He's just doing the bidding. The gift that keeps on giving. Jeffrey Epstein. Wow. International human trafficking impresario Jeffrey Epstein. We got a huge dump of documents from the DOJ. Which, by the way, kind of does vindicate President Trump in some way, because he's saying, hey, put the documents out there and let the people decide. And I like that, and you all have to like that as well. At least we're getting some insight into this crazy mystery of Jeffrey Epstein. We'll be right back on the other side of a break. Stay tuned. I'm Royce White in the belly of the beast, Minneapolis, Minnesota.
I have told the folks at Bigley, I said, I want to have the widest selection of combat daggers, trench knives, folding knives, you name it. They're high-quality brands you buy in bulk that are very competitively priced. And then support the broadcast, because I love knives. I know you love knives. They have finally gotten a whole bunch of the knives that were sold out back in, and they've gotten a bunch of new, really nice flip knives that I went out and told them what brands I liked, what was going on, and they were able to get it. And so a bunch of the knives that sold out a few months ago, they're back in, and then these bad boys right here. I mean, these are absolutely amazing. Flip really easy and locks for you. This is forest green, murdered out. It's got my little signature on it, so it's a little piece of history. This is a great knife. This knife sells in stores for $75 all day long. We're selling it for 40-something and even bigger discounts, up to 50% off right now. Some of these knives are as low as $20 a piece. It's a great memento. It's a great gift for your friends and family, and it funds the operation. Go there now. We've got also the Murdered Out Black, and I love how it's that Kydex, and it's got that real fine engraving on it, so it gives you that great feeling, that great, because I got sent hundreds of knives from dozens of companies, and I'm the one that chose all these. And these are from really good companies, really good quality, and it's just a great deal. And so do your knife shopping at thealexjonesstore.com. But let me tell you what's back in stock. We have the new ones, Alex Jones Blackout Folding Knife, 7.65 assisted opening folding knife, 3.5 high carbon Damascus blade, 1095 plus 515N20. This is all quality. D2 steel, black PVD coating, and stonewash finish, 3.3 millimeter black thickness, black G10 handle for a secure grip, 15.5 millimeter handle thickness for confident hand feel, ball bearing pivot system for smooth deployment, and it's a nice quality knife. All black, blackout finished, I call it murdered out, fast, decisive, assisting, operating, limited production, live before it sells out. And then we've got the same knife, but it's silver blade folding knife. If you like that, it's got a nice little hook on the end, so you can tie it to things. The forest green folding knife that is my close second, really a sexy knife. Same as the other one, it's just got that forest green. Call it forest, kind of like an in-between forest and olive, but it's nice. Kind of Border Patrol. I call it Border Patrol green. Let's change the name, Border Patrol green. That's actually what it is. This bad boy. These all sold out, but they always hold back a few hundred in case orders come in later or whatever. So tip of the spear, Spartan, trench knife with brass knuckles, murdered out, and the skull crusher. A few hundred of those. They held back a few of these. It had sold out, but there's about 200 left. The Elias Fire with this beauty limited edition. That funds the operation as well. It's a little different. The skull crusher isn't as big. Alex Jones Phantom folding knife. This has been sold out. They only got 500 of these the first run. Sold out in one day. It is back. They got 1,000 of them. And it's just a great knife. Really sleek, but really strong. Very well made. And you've got it in orange. Alex Jones burnt orange folding knife. I like that. Now we've got the Alex Jones ring blade. This sold out the quickest last time. That's an amazing product. And they're up to 50% off right now at thealexjonesstore.com. While you're there, get some ultramethylene blue and take advantage of the very best supplements in the world. We'll be right back. Thanks for funding the Second American Revolution worldwide.
To the Alex Jones Show here on InfoWars Sunday Night Live. I'm your host, Royce White. I'm in the belly of the beast, Minneapolis, Minnesota. And we're talking about this Epstein file dump. A lot to be learned. And it was, you know, just in the last couple of days. So we're still skimming through these documents to see what new news has been released. But we can already tell just from the coverage so far that the mainstream media is going out of their way to link all of this to President Trump. And it would appear President Trump is in these files quite a bit. But from previous statements, Jeffrey Epstein says, hey, President Trump didn't really participate in too many things. Was he on the plane? Did he ever make it to the island? We don't know. A lot of people made it to the island. A lot of people on the plane. I wasn't one of them. But there are a lot of people who are implicated in Jeffrey Epstein. And I guess, you know, this is going to become one of those political catch-22s where, yes, we all want to know what Jeffrey Epstein was involved in and who he was connected to. But at the same time, if anybody has ever taken a picture with President Trump, with him too, but with Jeffrey Epstein, does that mean that they're guilty? So we're there's a very dangerous, slippery slope here. Very dangerous, slippery slope where we use a MacGuffin like Jeffrey Epstein to assume the guilt of anyone. It's just a dangerous thing. Now, should we, are we right to say, hey, you're in question? And if you were in the island, if you were at the island, if you were on the plane, if he mentioned you as being a friend, or if he says he was giving you your drugs to clear an STD or to slip to your wife like Bill Gates, probably, you know, where there's smoke, there may be fire. Where there's smoke, there's usually fire. Sometimes you get smoke without fire, but where there's smoke, there's fire, usually. It's an interesting thing. It's an interesting catch-22. What we do know is that this man was connected to some of the most powerful people in our country and in the entire world. The type of footprint that does not suggest an organic lifestyle, an organic network. It just doesn't suggest that, you know? And people for a long time, they, you know, there was a theory that because Ghislaine Maxwell's father, Robert Maxwell, was clearly, I mean quite clearly connected to British and Israeli intelligence. I mean, he's buried there, you know, on the Mount Olives in Israel. And at his funeral, there were a long list of Israeli intelligence figures at his funeral. And he's on the record having traded, you know, information with both the British government and Israeli government. So even if he wasn't formally an asset of the agency, he was certainly in contact and worked with them in some capacity. So because of that, a lot of people theorized that Ghislaine Maxwell may in fact have been the architect of this whole deal. I mean, if you read between the lines, if you read in the fine print, there were stories that when Robert Maxwell died, he had some debts, some things that he owed, and that Jeffrey Epstein first came into contact with the Maxwell family on paper, on record. I don't know how long they were in contact, but that he came into contact with the Maxwell family after Robert Maxwell's death, and that he may have, in fact, loaned or you know, set up some financial aid for the wife, and that's how he met Ghislaine Maxwell, and, you know, may have been a strange, arranged financial quid pro quo there. Ghislaine Maxwell being one of the very first in the saga of Jeffrey Epstein's human trafficking, potentially. From these emails, and I'm just going to be honest with you, Jeffrey Epstein, very smart individual, very smart individual, very spooky individual, even in the way that he talked, you know, an high IQ individual, but sort of sinister. I mean, not sort of sinister, seriously sinister, but even in the way they talked in casual exchanges, there's a sinister nature to it. And maybe Ghislaine Maxwell has a similar thing. But when I've seen Ghislaine Maxwell, and even when I watched the trial and looked at the transcripts and read them back and tried to, you know, infer some things from the way that she talked, you can look at the way a person talks and it tells you a lot. She doesn't seem like the architect type. I'm just going to throw that out there. So I think as we go through these 3 million documents, we'll find that Ghislaine's more or less a pawn in the game. How connected she was, hard to say. I mean, it's hard to say for sure, but just on face value, it seems like she was drafted into the thing by Jeffrey Epstein. Interesting times we're living in. And not to mention, again, I want to keep putting it out there that Minnesota is on the tip of being the first state, the official first state of the second civil war, or so we thought. Now, per President Trump's statements on Truth Social, he has ordered the Department of Justice and not the Department of Justice, I'm sorry, the Department of Homeland Security, Kristi Noem, not to get involved in any of these Democrat cities when it comes to protest or civil unrest, unless and when, only when they ask for the federal government's help. I disagree with this fundamentally. I really do. And I think President Trump is the president for the time that we need. I mean, the president that we need right now. And we'll talk about 2028 over the course of the couple hours as well, because, you know, this, it all kind of ties together. But when I disagree, I disagree. And, you know, there's plenty of precedents for the federal government to intervene in state or local matters in times of crisis. And we do have a multitude of national crises taking place at, you know, at the same time here in this country. Not to mention the fact that we are almost certainly on the brink of the Third World War. In fact, we're already in it. You know, we are in the Third World War. You know, just a series of inflection points are going to be what trigger full-blown kinetic warfare. So, you know, we're in a crisis in this country. We can have our personal opinions about the politics and the parties, and I say there are no party lines anymore. They're just nationalists and patriots and globalists. Patriots and nationalists obviously going together, patriots and nationalists as one, and globalists. There are no party lines anymore. With all that said, go to caucus on Tuesday here in Minnesota, February 3rd, because there is a political process by which the parties have a lot of influence and sway. Like in Minnesota, if you want to run as an independent candidate, you have to get, I think, 10,000 signatures maybe for a statewide election. And that's just really difficult to do operationally. Plus, you can get your 10,000 signatures. Let's say you do it online. Then you have to go through the process of the Secretary of State verifying the 10,000 signatures. If they can't verify the votes, if they can't verify the welfare fraud or process, what makes you think they're going to go out of their way to properly verify the independent candidate's signature? So for all of you who say, oh, well, why don't you just run as an independent, Royce? One, I believe in the guarantee of a Republican form of government. I believe in the philosophy, the fundamental philosophy of Republicanism. That's number one, a limited government, but a Republican form of government. So, you know, the Republican Party at least pretends to leave some room for God and Jesus Christ, even if it is shrouded in a perverse Israel first Christian Zionism. And so there we find a place to stake our claim and have a necessary battle for the Republican Party. So the Republican Party can have control of our government. And hopefully we can pressure and put people in a position to have to answer to the American people. But ultimately it falls back on the American people. My point is, yes, the party system is failing, rapidly. From here to Beijing and everywhere in between. but we still have to be involved in this fight. And that's, you know, there is no workaround. There is no way out of it. There is no, it's all messed up. So what the hell? It's just abandoned ship. There's nowhere for you to go. Understand that. The same thing I tell these crazy, raging leftists out in the street here in Minnesota. You want the whole system to burn? Are you sure? Because I'm seeing some of you 180-pound, not even 180-pound, probably. I'm seeing some of you 140-pound nerds trying to stop a 4,000-pound reinforced steel SUV with your body. Retarded. I'm not sure you want to go to a post-civilized apocalyptic scenario. You don't seem too equipped. One, you're gullible and stupid. So, I mean, you're wearing a COVID mask and you're putting your 140-pound body in front of a 4,000-pound SUV. GM SUV at that. Not one of those, carbon fiber Toyota Highlanders that come from across the water there. You're talking about good old-fashioned American reinforced steel SUV. Not going to be able to stop the SUV. Maybe you want to just get run over so you could be another, Antifa martyr. But I just don't trust you in a post-civilized apocalyptic society scenario. I don't trust you. I don't want to be around you. I don't want to be dependent on you. I don't want to have to worry about feeding you or keeping you alive, because chances are you're going to get me killed. And before we even go to the fall of the American Empire, you may get us killed, ahead of that scenario. Is Minnesota on the brink of becoming the first official state of the second American Civil War? And like I was saying, I completely disagree with President Trump on the federal government not intervening. Now, look, you know, he's a good jujitsu player with this stuff. And you see, he threw the bait out there of de-escalation, sent Tom Holman in. And Tom Holman shows up and says, hey, we're going to prioritize the criminals. We're not scaling back. We're just going to prioritize the criminals. America first. Yeah, the entire America first and MAGA movement is about priority. It's just a prudent thing to do. Priorities, right? American citizens come first. Priorities. We're going to get the criminal illegal immigrants out first. Priorities. And I love, there was a chilling moment in Tom Holman's speech here in Minneapolis a few days ago where he said, 13 million illegal immigrants came across the border and we know who they are and where they are. They showed up and asked for amnesty. We took their picture. We took their fingerprints. They're all across the country, spread far and wide to these sanctuary cities. They were brought on a bus, given a cell phone, a credit card, in some cases put up in luxury hotels. We know where these people are. But there were 2 million people that came into this country that skipped the cash. What the hell were those 2 million people up to? 2 million people, 2 million illegal immigrants came into this country and they skipped the cash. Sleeper cells, you have to think. As a matter of national security, your mind has to first go to sleeper cells. 2 million people, 2 million illegal immigrants that are, you know, desperate for amnesty and a chance at peace, you know, a chance to get away from the ratchet and ugly circumstance they faced in their origin country. For them to skip the cash, conspicuous. This is like I was saying. So maybe President Trump, he set that bait. He set that trap. He sent Holman in. He sets the trap. And what does Jacob Fry do? Jacob Fry triple and quadruples down in the wake of it and says, Minneapolis will not comply with federal immigration law. Minneapolis, the mayor of Minneapolis has basically declared that the city of Minneapolis will not comply with federal immigration law. Kind of brings the bottom out of the entire left's argument that this isn't about deportations. Principally, it's about the manner in which deportations are carried out. Jacob Fry, being the dimwit that he is, let the cat out of the bag. He couldn't help himself. You know, he's got himself worked up into this woke pseudo intellectual, suicidal, empathetic, you know, theatrical, liberal performance. And so all of a sudden, you know, he finds himself directly in a battle with the ire of the liberal left's political worldview, President Trump himself, and he lets the cat out of the bag. And President Trump, you know, hit him with a steel trap, and he really did, brilliantly played. Send Holman out, you know, he's gonna pull Bovino off, which I didn't agree with either. But again, I'm much further to the right than President Trump. They'll clip that and go, oh, he's further right. I'm further right in that the president is somewhat of a kind and decent hearted man, you know, and he's a moderate in the MAGA movement. These people gotta realize he is a moderate. He's gonna play nice with these people to an extent. And he's doing it here in Minnesota. Get Tim Walz on the phone, you know, let's talk to him and see where he's coming from. See if we can, you know, discuss something and de-escalate things and, you know, make everything go the way that it should go. But he's a judo player, man. He's setting that steel trap for you. And he laid the trap beautifully in that regard, in that instance. And the Minneapolis mayor, our mayor here, Minneapolis, Jacob Fry, he just, you know, threw himself, just body flopped right on that trap. We're not going to comply with federal immigration law, huh? Excuse me? Insurrectionist. That's what he is. That's when a city official or a state official says they refuse to comply with federal law, especially from an explicitly anti-executive position, He's not doing it on a general basis about the merit of a law, piece of legislation that may be passed that he doesn't agree with at the state level. No, he's saying directly to the executive branch, the unified theory of the executive, the commander in chief. He's saying we are opposing the president of the United States. That is, in fact, insurrection. By definition. And President Trump's response, and I guess I'm a little bit biased because I live here in the belly of the beast, Minnesota, Minneapolis, Minnesota, in the Twin Cities. I'm in the belly of the beast. So I guess I'm a little biased in saying, don't leave us out here all alone. What the hell? Half of the people in the state of Minnesota are Republicans. Half of the people in this great state of Minnesota are Republicans. Let's say a third. A third don't know up from down, right from left. They're just caught in the vortex of superficial social media misinformation. A third of us are Republicans or conservatives, or we believe in God. A third of us are Democrats and liberals or communists and Marxists or atheists or Satanists. And a third of us, we just go to work, go home, eat, watch TV, do it all again the next day. Hope for the best. But there is historical basis for President Trump and the federal government, is specifically the executive branch, the president, to intervene in these type of local and state matters. And I can take you back to Abe Lincoln. Abe Lincoln is the example. And never forget, if you know anything about the history of Abe Lincoln in the first Civil War, Abe Lincoln came to a bit of a crossroads, let's say a judicial constitutional crisis there during the first Civil War, where Chief Justice Taney told President Lincoln, because he had arrested the mayor of Baltimore and the city council of Baltimore, who were blocking Union troops from getting to Washington, D.C. and provide relief, because he had arrested the mayor of Baltimore and the city council, Chief Justice Taney basically says to him, hey, either you're going to charge him, either you're going to indict him and charge him, or I'm letting him go. And as the story goes, President Lincoln sent a message to him and says, you let them go and I'm going to arrest you. And I hate that we're coming to that point in this country's history, but we are really at that point. And, shit could get ugly. And let's hope that it doesn't. I mean, hopefully President Trump has a much wiser vantage on this whole situation than I do. I just hope that we don't see, and look what's happening in Los Angeles. I mean, we have reached a critical point in this country's history where our culture has a significant impulse for anarchy. Yeah, no, the collective spirit of our country, our countrymen and women, is that they're so fed up with getting the shit into the deal and not having anything like faith, Christian faith, for a backdrop for their morality. They're so fed up with being screwed, and they are getting screwed. Don't get me wrong here. I think that the left and the liberals and the Marxists and communists have bad ideas about the solution, but many of us agree on the problem, except for the whole everything is racism and white supremacy part. If we separated their view of corporate greed and crony capitalism and all of the other criticisms that they have of the guilty system, many of us would agree, until they get to saying all white people are racist and that's the problem. Okay, well, now we got to part company. And it's not an insignificant divide. It's not an insignificant disagreement. It's a fundamental disagreement, in fact. And that's why you got to be careful with this Ronald Reagan Republican sort of 80-20 rule. Oh, if you agree on 80% of things, then we're good to go. No, we're not. Excuse me. Wait a second. Let me see that other 20 again. Let me read the fine print. See, even Ronald Reagan, and God bless his heart, he did some great things. He's also responsible for the rise of the current day security state. God bless his heart. I thought he was a charismatic man. He was more of a common man than he was an elite, even though he was a Hollywood actor and had, you know, been in the politics and been the governor and the whole deal. He was much more of a common man and talked more common sense than he was the legalese elite type. All that being said, some of these relics from the Reagan era have to just be set to the wayside. Like, that isn't going to work. We have to get down to the details now. The devil is in the details and the nuance now. There's no way around it. So I'm sorry, this 80-20 deal isn't going to work for us anymore. We got to see what's in that 20. I gotta look over, just like these Epstein files here. Before we continue on this international relationship with Israel in good faith, we got to get through these Epstein files here. The American people have to see what subversive things were taking place in this intelligence operation. And don't tell me it wasn't an intelligence operation. I mean, I'm just not willing to believe, you know, as high IQ as he may have been, that a jerk off impresario like Jeffrey Epstein was carrying out this whole thing on his own. I just don't have that type of belief in him individually. Not that some person isn't capable of a vast network of conspiracy and blackmail, because certainly there are people who have that type of devious mind. But I don't believe he was capable of it, even though I accept he was above average IQ and intelligence. I don't think he's working alone. I don't think anybody believes he was working alone. The record would suggest that he wasn't working alone. Plenty of suggestion or implication on the record of people saying, yeah, he's working with intelligence. Okay, the American people want to know. We want to see this 20%. We want to see the 20%, and this goes all the way. Again, these things are, you know, they're sort of interlocking ideas. Like, you got Reagan, then you get the security state, and all of a sudden Israel is the number one priority, and we agree on 80% of the things, then the 20% doesn't really matter. It's like, what kind of moral racket is that? Excuse me, the 20% definitely matters, the same way it does when I talk with the socialist populists or the AOC, Bernie Sanders, communist types. We can agree that there's corporate greed, but I want to know what you think the solution is. And then when I hear your solution, I can infer the motive. And once I infer the motive, I go back and I cross check, come to find out Ilhan Omar isn't really so free Palestine after all. You see how that works? Endorses AIPAC Amy Klobuchar for Minnesota governor. Do you see how that works? Every nook and cranny. Check, double check. Trust, but verify. Check and double check. You're watching Alex Jones. I'm your host, Royce White. I got you for another hour. Stay tuned. We'll be right back on the other side of the break. Don't go anywhere.
So I'm not giving up. I'm not going away. If they shut us down, I got the Alex Jones Network. I don't own. I'm going over there. You financed it. You paid for it with your support. I'm just telling you, here's the weird paradox. I thought we'd be shut down last year. I thought we'd be shut down 2 months ago. The receiver won't let us order new product over at InfoWarsStore.com. So we're in this paradox now where we're winning, and now they're like, well, you'll actually be open in the, you know, middle of next year now and all this stuff, and there's no money because people believe it was going to shut down. Plus, there's no product. But I convinced the receiver. I said, can we at least make fundraising posters, which are very low cost, have a high markup, people know it's an investment, to keep us on the air, kind of. I said, yeah, you can do that. I can just tell you, we need your support right now at InfoWarsStore.com. Three posters I designed, two I designed, Rob designed the other one. Defend the West, famous Crusader King, Make No Peace With Evil, you know, same Crusader King, and then Do Like That Still Image of Me, and it is the bestseller. It's I've only begun to fight John Paul Jones, and it's InfoWars 1997 to 2026. And yeah, you can buy it unsigned for $25, big posters, glossy in a tube, or you get it for $100. You're like, God, that's huge markup. Yeah, it's a fundraiser. Like when commies give NPR $200 for a ball cap, costs $15. That's the whole point. We're actually winning right now. I don't want to count chickens for their hats. It's not the Democrats. It's not the DOJ holdovers. They're going to shut us down. If you don't go get these posters and you don't support us, and I'm not bitching anything, I'm just telling you, I'm not saying you got to do it, then you'll be the ones that shut us down. This is a marathon, so please support us, InfoWarsStore.com. I need the money right now. It's like a Star Trek Wrath of Khan. He goes, I need warp speed in 3 minutes, we're all dead.
Scotty, I need warp speed in 3 minutes or we're all dead.
And you guys have got us out of this over and over and over again. And me, I'm not giving up. We need to keep pushing because we've got their ass.
The Alex Jones Show here on InfoWars Sunday Night Live. I'm your host, guest host for the evening, Royce White. I'm in the belly of the beast, Minneapolis, Minnesota. Huge Jeffrey Epstein dump from the DOJ, 3 million plus documents. And the headline should read that us Americans are all goyim. That's the headline. The headline is the Jewish conspiracy theorists like Royce White and the rest of his radical far-right bunch of tinfoil hat types vindicated. Goyim we are. The goyim and the deplorables. The goyim and the deplorables are punching a hole right through this globalist agenda. And even further, we find out that Jeffrey Epstein claims a Jewish elite, a healthy amount of Jewish elite, enough for him to just say it pretty forthright, healthy amount of Jewish elite make it a pretty penny betting on shipping futures. So I just pulled up here the maritime law. And let me, this is just Wikipedia. This is for all of you guys to follow along here. But British Admiralty law, also known as maritime law, body of law that governs nautical issues and private maritime disputes. Admiralty law consists of both domestic law on maritime activities and private international law governing the relationships between private parties operating or using ocean-going ships. While each legal jurisdiction usually has its own legislation governing maritime matters, the international nature of the topic and the need for uniformity has, since 1900, led to considerable international maritime law developments, including numerous multilateral treaties. Oh, yeah. Ooh, there's that international legalese there, right? It's a multilateral treaties, which essentially means people can pretend like they have their own laws, but push comes to shove, the sun never sets on the British Empire, and all you stupid goyim are going to be bending the knee to the grand arc of globalist history. That's what we're dealing with here. And Jeffrey Epstein, I mean, the man, for as smart as he was and as epic of a international blackmailing racket as he was involved with, he did, you know, he was pretty sloppy in these emails. I don't know. It's almost like, is it intentional? I mean, some people get off. They got a sick, twisted sort of sadomasochistic arrogance about them. Like, you know, it's like almost like he wanted to be caught or that at some point, you know, I don't know. It's just some weird stuff. Getting the espionage is like blackmail is like, is he laying the evidence of all of the people who he may at some point need to betray? I don't know. There'll be an incredible biopic on Jeffrey Epstein is in our future. I see it. I said, matter of fact, I want to get in on that. I mean, I want to be the one to produce the Jeffrey Epstein biopic. It's going to be a $1 billion in the box office the first day, if not more. It's going to break records. It's going to make Avatar, you know, look like a B movie. But pretty sloppy in these emails. Pretty sloppy in some of these emails. Even asked Bill Gates to go back and delete some emails, I believe, or Bill Gates may have asked him to delete some emails. Pretty sloppy deal here. Sloppiest of all. The goyim. The goyim are beneath us. The goyim are our cannon fodder. They are there for us to use, the stupid American goyim. They can have their trade deals and their radical materialism and their cheap goods from China. As long as we can make our VIG getting rich, betting the shipping futures, it's all good. It's all good. Yeah. Then we'll give you your money back on interest. We'll talk about how this connects to the Fed on the other side of the break. I'm Royce White. I'm in the belly of the beast, Minneapolis, Minnesota. Huge news. Jeffrey Epstein, $3 million document dump from the DOJ. We'll be right back in a moment. Stay tuned.
Energy shots have been all the rage for decades because they really work. But most of them are full of dyes and toxic stimulants and have huge crashes. We set out to develop a product at thealexstore.com that has all the very best adaptogens, nootropics to biohack your body and not just help your brain, but every cell in your entire body. We've done it, ladies and gentlemen. Mind Fuel is next level with no letdown, no crash. It is very strong. So I take half a shot in the morning, half in the afternoon, and it's just amazing. And again, the effects go on for days and days and days because these are super nutrients that are in Mind Fuel. For the time I have here, I can't tell you all the incredible ingredients. So go to thealexjonesstore.com and look at what is in it, and of course, proprietary herbal ingredients as well. Go now to thealexjonesstore.com and secure your Mind Fuel and be the reason we'll always be on the air. Thank you so much for your support. If you love our other products, you're going to love Mind Fuel.
Welcome back to the Alex Jones Show here on InfoWars Sunday Night Live. I'm your guest host, Royce White. I'm here in the belly of the beast, Minneapolis, Minnesota. And oh, when we get a Jeffrey Epstein document dump from the DOJ, and in it he mentions the Goyim, us here on the just right, we're not going to call it the far right because we're not far right. I'm not far right. I'm not far right. I'm not alt right. I'm not fringe right. I'm not a part of the conspiracy theory, right? I am just right. We are just right. And we've been proven right yet again. For all of the accusations of being anti-Semitic and Jew-hating and it's like, okay, well, you all out there in the tolerant international community of politics, you tell us, what we stupid Goyim should make of these revelations in Jeffrey Epstein's emails. And I was talking to you guys about British Admiralty law because I do think the buried lead here, I mean, at least for me, sure, the sexual innuendo is littered throughout the Jeffrey Epstein. It is a sex trafficking scandal of epic proportions. No doubt about that. But I'm always interested in the connection. So there's a connection in here. And when you listen close enough, when you watch close enough, people will tell you what they really think and what they really mean. They'll tell you what the real agenda is. I really think the buried lead here is around these shipping futures. I really do. And that there's this international Jewish community that's betting on shipping futures. I mean, expressly tied to what we call the international trade economy or the globalist economy. And I thought, yeah, maritime law, including numerous multilateral treaties. This is funny. I mean, some of these things, you can't only trust Wikipedia, you know, you can only trust them as far as you could throw a 20 ton, you know, armored tank, but multilateral. Some of these things are just definitional, you know. And you go in here and you pull up the definition of multilateral and multilateralism. And right there, it just says, it's a gentleman, his name is Miles Kaler. He defines multilateralism as international governance or global governance. The governance of many. Unbelievable. All of these multilateral treaties, more international globalist jargon. It's another way of saying the American working class, the American people, the sovereign individual, the sovereign citizen of any given Westphalian nation state anywhere in the world is getting screwed. That's what they're saying. And you are getting screwed. Again, like I was saying earlier, we agree with the left that we're all getting screwed. Their idea is to resign from society. You know, they got this real, for lack of a better term, Judeo-Buddhist philosophy. And you do notice all these guys like Dave Portnoy, for example, is like, there's always a secular Jewish dude who wears a chain with the Star of David and then he's got a little Buddha behind it. It's, you know, Judeo-Buddhism, secular Jewish Buddhists. It's a strange phenomenon. It's like I say, there are a bunch of omnisexual vegan cokeheads out there. Same thing with Judeo-Buddhism, right? It's like a bunch of secular Jews who believe in Eastern philosophy and Eastern culture more than Americanism, than you know, the rugged individualism. So as a consequence, their default on issues that are highly contentious or trouble is to resign from society. And that's the difference between Buddha and the Christ. Christ's answer wasn't to resign from the world. It was to pick up a cross and sacrifice himself for the greater good. That's what makes Christ special in the, you know, the social, not theological or spiritual, but the social pantheon of faith icons. It's what makes Christ so unique. It's what makes Christianity so unique. Christianity was spread by the blood of martyrs. Islam was spread by the blood of its enemies. Fundamental difference. Not that Christianity didn't have its enemies as well, and there we did spill our enemies' blood, but the faith was spread in Scripture by the blood of the martyrs, the martyr. Islam, fundamentally different, spread by the blood of its enemies. War like faith. And Christians have to come to grips with the fact that if we don't, while most of us recognize the fundamental difference, we have not yet accepted the fundamental difference does mean at some point in the arc of Christianity, we will have to be willing to fight again the same way our forebears did there for the Temple Mount. That's a reality we must come to grips with. And guess what? It may not be there in the Temple Mount. In fact, I would say that it shouldn't be there on the Temple Mount. It should be right here in this country. It may, in fact, end up being right here in this country, right here in Minnesota, right here in Minneapolis, right there in New York City, where you have a communist jihadist mayor. Unironically, somehow connected back to Jeffrey Epstein, mom would appear to be a fluffer in the entire Jeffrey Epstein scandal. Strange how that would, I mean, you just can't look at that and think, you just cannot look at Zora Mamdani's mother being romantically connected to Jeffrey Epstein as coincidence. I mean, it's, and don't get me wrong, this guy is a turd knocker. I mean, he really is, but sharp, very articulate, And very serious, by the way, about communism. But you have to even think, and there's two competing theories here. And this is where Alex Jones gets it dead right. I mean, he gets it dead right when he talks about Hegelian dialectics and the double crosses and triple crosses. The question is Zora Mamdani a part of an international, a subversive globalist agenda that will use any political vehicle to achieve his desired outcome? Or is he a genuine communist of which the globalists are willing to use in their agenda? This is a question that we have to be privy to. It's like, is he really a communist? It's the same question that we ask about the Russians in some regards, the same question we ask about President Xi. A lot of people ask of President Xi, well, is he really a communist or is he a nationalist? Does he really believe in the communist ideology of a sort of a global collectivism and greater good that communism claims? Or is he only out for himself, number one, and the rise of the Chinese people as a sort of as a sort of religious race almost, right? I mean, the Chinese people, the mandate from heaven, they believe themselves to be divine racially. It's a very ethno-national state, China. Very ethno-national culture. Russia has a very national culture and identity. Not necessarily ethno-national. I would call theirs is more geographical national. They believe in the land of Russia in a sort of geographical footprint of their that's attached and connected to their identity. Which is why they're willing to fight to reconstitute the former USSR. A lot of them have that. Mother Russia, right? I mean, they believe in the country itself. There's a very geographical national element to the Russian culture. The Chinese culture, very different. Explicitly ethno-national to a religious degree. So the question becomes like, is President Xi really a communist or is he zooming? Same thing you got to ask about a guy like Mamdani, especially in the wake of this Epstein thing. As you look at that and go, it just can't be by accident that Zohar Mamdani pops up out of nowhere. And he really did kind of pop up out of nowhere. Becomes the mayor of the biggest city in the biggest city in our country. The economic capital of Western society. A communist jihadist. Some of these things, I mean, you just scratch your head and go, you know, the things that make you say, I don't know. Time will tell. Here's a safe way to go about it. Instead of all of the theory, I mean, understand it in principle, right? But the way that I deal with these things is I just tell these people to go bite a hog in the ass. All of them. From your center left liberals like Cuomo, who try and play like they don't understand the dangers of a Mamdani, over to your Ilhan Omars here in Minneapolis, who says, you know, free Palestine. I just, I'm for the people. It's kind of a proto, feminist driven identity politics person. But then, you know, endorses, AIPAC weapons manufacturer Amy Klobuchar for Minnesota governor, but all the way over to your Zohar Mamdanis. And even further, whoever's further out there on the left than that. I just clump them all in together. I don't care if you're ignorant or in on it. The net result is the same. And we don't really have time to sort it out. And that's the danger of where we're headed. The fog of war, the law of unintended consequences. Like I said, perfectly good historical precedent for the president, the unified theory of the executive, the president, to put a federal hand in some of these state and local matters when you are dealing with subversives. And anybody who suggests that we shouldn't have a border or that we shouldn't enforce federal immigration law is, by definition, a subversive. Abe Lincoln arrested the mayor of Baltimore, arrested the Baltimore City Council because they were blocking the Union soldiers from relieving the Union in Washington, D.C. And Chief Justice Taney told President Abe Lincoln, hey, you're going to have to indict this guy. You're going to have to charge him. If you don't charge him, I'm letting him go. And Abe Lincoln sends him a message and says, you let him out of prison and we're going to throw you in jail too. Chief Justice Taney, that part is kind of, you know, historically debated whether or not that took place, but more or less he jailed the mayor of Baltimore and the city council because we were in the middle of a civil war. And the unified theory of the president and the executive in that. And I say all that to say we're reaching a pretty strange time here where it's going to be increasingly difficult to sort all these people out. It's like, how do we know? How do we know? We don't know who Zohar Mamdani is. Hell, you don't know who I am. We don't know who any of these people are, to be honest. I'm just being honest. Now, you can tell who I'm not because the slow rise to the mainstream. Right? I mean, I'm relatively articulate myself and pretty good looking, by the way. Not to be arrogant, but the slow rise to the mainstream kind of tells you who people are and who they're not. The people who are supporting them tells you something about who they are and who they're not. And then ultimately the things that they say and they do tell you a lot about who they are and who they're not. So we can see who Mamdani is intended to be. It's intended for him to turn New York City into a communist hellhole, as though it wasn't one already, a proto-communist hellhole. Now they're going to triple down on the communism in the nation's financial capital, the world's financial capital, New York City. Not an accident. But is that where the chaos stops? Is that where this plot ends? Maybe a collapse of the financial market. I mean, you already had people going to federal buildings and the stock exchange. And that's what makes me concerned about President Trump declaring that he's not going to go into any of these Democrat cities. Not for my own home here in Minneapolis, because, you know, Minnesota, belly of the beast, no doubt, ideologically. This is where all of the real wicked Satanism is stirred up. It's got its teeth sunk in, and it's getting his, it's animating spirit is right here from Minnesota. Uniparty, two parties, Republicans, Democrats, both in on the deal, backed by a nice mix of corporate Fortune 500s and the agricultural business. I mean, you got the whole polyglot of power right here in the Twin Cities, Minnesota. It just to be capped off by a very, very prominent and influential liberal academic community, the University of Minnesota. But New York City is the nation's financial capital. And if these people get the impulse to, let's say, go for the New York Stock Exchange, they could cause a lot of problems. I don't know if people really understand that. And I don't want to be playbooking here, but I would seriously advise that the president make a special concession on his previous, directive for Kristi Noem that the New York Stock Exchange, some of the, even the Fed there, as much as we would love to see the Fed abolished, I don't want to see it become a part of some domestic terroristic plot, because obviously we're negotiating with terrorists now. I mean, that much is clear. I think we can all agree we've crossed the Rubicon where we're negotiating with terrorists. So if that's the case, don't give up the New York Stock Exchange. For Christ's sake, please do not give up the New York Stock Exchange. Do not allow these Democrat cities, because there's some important stuff in some of these Democrat cities. Some important stuff. You feel where I'm coming from, Mr. President? I say that with all due respect. New York City, can't let the Democrats take New York City. We got to have some serious, serious contingency plans around that, because the entire financial world could come to a screeching halt. And we don't, God knows what happens from there. Because, people are all about the ideology and we are the world, kumbaya, until they go to the ATM and their money's not coming out, or their credit cards swipe and they get declined. Then stuff starts to get real dicey. We're not there yet. We're playing on the outer boundary of that, but we're certainly not there yet. Let's keep it that way. I don't know who some of these people are, but the buried lead here is that Jeffrey Epstein makes a clear and concise claim that he, as a Jewish man, and some other Jews that he knows or maybe be connected to, are playing a game in the markets of shipping futures. And again, British Admiralty law, shipping futures, the logistics, the trade and supply chains of our great nation and the other nations, many nations around the world. This is how the whole game works. I mean, this is how the deal is actually done. It's like there's energy, right? There's energy. The creation of energy itself is like oil and electricity, energy. Then there's human energy, and then there's logistics. How to get the energy to the place you need to create a given thing to sell it, and then sell it. How do you get the good that you manufacture to the people, the end consumer? I mean, the logistics of an economy, especially a global economy, are really what the whole deal is about. And if you look beneath the surface, you'll usually find that a lot of the conflict, military conflict, coincides with the global economic interests in one direction or another. And there's a lot of espionage and international espionage. This is why, if you go back and you watch the movie Snowden and you listen to Snowden's testimony, you go listen to the interviews with Edward Snowden, and this is such an interesting connection for me anyway. In real time, I'm even thinking about when Edward Snowden said that the surveillance system wasn't only used to target domestic terrorists. It then started to be used to spy on people who had significant influence on international economic matters. CEOs of companies, owners and founders of companies, specific people, key people in certain companies, certain technology, intellectual property. These kind of things became the target of our security state's surveillance. And you just think about that in connection with this Epstein thing and him talking about forward future agreements for shipping. Man, I mean, there is a rabbit hole here that we could be on for the rest of the year at least. And maybe, and you know what? I hate to say this, but we better secure these damn elections. I know everybody is interested in what's in the Epstein files. I get it. Let's spend about one quarter of our time on Epstein. And I just spent a full hour and a half on it, but I'll be back next Sunday. Hopefully I'll be back next Sunday. I just spent an hour and a half on Epstein because I do think there's a connection. But at the same time, we have a 2026 midterm coming up here. And hey, if you want to throw the towel in, if you want to do the Judeo-Buddhist thing, so we're going to resign from the world. I'm sick of this whole deal. It's all corrupt. And no matter which way I vote, I get the same result, no matter who's in office. Okay. I mean, you can take that sort of nihilistic approach. To me, you're not really much better than the Marxists. You know, it's just kind of a nihilism wrapped in the cloth of Christ or, let's say the flag of our nation, the American flag. There is a nihilism on the right that's wrapped in the cloth of Christ and the flag of our nation. We must reject that. We have to reject that. We cannot fall into that trap. These 2026 midterms are coming. And look at Rand Paul. And I was critical of Rand a couple weeks back, and my criticism still stands. Of him and the Massey wing, as I asked Massey, and I still haven't gotten a response. Hey, Massey, I'm just another stupid goyim out here in the wilderness. So, you know, no need for you to respond to me. Actually, I'm a black goyim. I may even be at the bottom of the totem pole here. But I thought I asked a perfectly reasonable question, and I would like for others to ask Thomas Massey this question. If in fact he believes that the Congress is over 90% captured by special interests and lobby money, specifically, Israel or AIPAC, then why would he suggest that the president or we the people look to Congress to do anything in the interest of America? I'd like an answer to that question. I'd like anybody to answer that question. Maybe somebody has a better insight into Masseyism that I don't and could help me with, you know, square that circle. The 2026 midterms is coming. And by my measure, the elections still aren't secure. Yeah, I'm running for United States Senate, and my former opponent, Amy Klobuchar, is now going to be the governor of Minnesota unless Minnesota Republicans grow a spine. You know, your little Ilhan Omar is endorsed AIPAC Amy. Very strange, to say the least. How a free Palestine starlet like Ilhan Omar finds herself a bedfellow with AIPAC weapons manufacturer Amy Klobuchar. It's almost as if you can see Ilhan Omar just kind of, by way of a telekinesis, just kind of sending her signature over on the next Lockheed Martin missile to find its way up the asshole of somebody there in Gaza. But hey, I'm just a stupid goyim out here in the wilderness. Big things are going to occur here in the 2026 midterms, and we have to be there, be involved more than ever before. I'm your host, Royce White. I'm here in the belly of the beast, Minneapolis, Minnesota. Happy to be your guest host. I got you for another half hour. Stay tuned. We'll be right back after a brief break. Don't go anywhere. Well, we're going to keep talking about this goyim reveal in the Epstein files.
I have told the folks at Bigley, I said, I want to have the widest selection of combat daggers, trench knives, folding knives, you name it. They're high-quality brands you buy in bulk that are very competitively priced. And then support the broadcast, because I love knives. I know you love knives. They have finally gotten a whole bunch of the knives that were sold out back in, and they've gotten a bunch of new, really nice flip knives that I went out and told them what brands I liked, what was going on, and they were able to get it. And so a bunch of the knives that sold out a few months ago, they're back in. And then these bad boys right here. I mean, these are absolutely amazing. Flip really easy and locks for you. This is Forest Green, murdered out. It's got my little signature on it, so it's a little piece of history. This is a great knife. This knife sells in stores for $75 all day long. We're selling it for 40-something and even bigger discounts, up to 50% off right now. Some of these knives are as low as $20 a piece. It's a great memento. It's a great gift for your friends and family, and it funds the operation. Go there now. We've got also the Murdered Out Black, and I love how it's that Kydex, and it's got that real fine engraving on it, so it gives you that great feeling, that great... Because I got sent hundreds of knives from dozens of companies, and I'm the one that chose all these. And these are from really good companies, really good quality, and it's just a great deal. And so do your knife shopping at thealexjonesstore.com. But let me tell you what's back in stock. We have the new ones, Alex Jones Blackout Folding Knife, 7.65 assisted opening folding knife, 3.5 high carbon Damascus blade, 1095 plus 515N20. This is all quality. D2 steel, black PVD coating, and stonewash finish, 3.3 millimeter black thickness, black G10 handle for a secure grip, 15.5 millimeter handle thickness for confident hand feel, ball bearing pivot system for smooth deployment, and it's a nice quality knife. All black, blackout finished, I call it murdered out, fast, decisive, assisting, operating, limited production, live before it sells out. And then we've got the same knife, but it's silver blade folding knife. If you like that, it's got a nice little hook on the end, so you can tie it to things. The forest green folding knife that is my close second, really a sexy knife. Same as the other one, it's just got that forest green. Call it forest, it's kind of like an in-between forest and olive, but nice. Kind of Border Patrol. I call it Border Patrol green. Let's change the name, Border Patrol green. That's actually what it is. This bad boy. These all sold out, but they always hold back a few hundred in case orders come in later or whatever. So tip of the spear, Spartan, trench knife with brass knuckles, murdered out, and the skull crusher. A few hundred of those. They held back a few of these. It had sold out, but there's about 200 left. The Vlice Fire with this beauty limited edition. That funds the operation as well. It's a little different. Skull Crusher is as big. Alex Jones Phantom Folding Knife. This has been sold out. They only got 500 of these the first run. Sold out in one day. It is back. They got 1,000 of them. And it's just a great knife. Really sleek, but really strong. Very well made. And you've got it in orange. Alex Jones Burnt Orange Folding Knife. I like that. Now we've got the Alex Jones Ring Blade. This sold out the quickest last time. That's an amazing product. And they're up to 50% off right now at thealexjonesstore.com. And while you're there, get some ultramethylene blue and take advantage of the very best supplements in the world. We'll be right back. Thanks for funding the Second American Revolution worldwide.
To the Alex Jones Show here on InfoWars Sunday Night Live. I'm your host, Royce White, here in the belly of the beast, Minneapolis, Minnesota. And we've been talking about this Epstein 3 million document dump. What an epic, epic week in American politics. And you got the world going up in flames. You got the country going up in flames. Your libtards from here to Los Angeles and New York City running around in circles, trying to keep our border open and illegal immigrants on the streets, criminal illegal immigrants on the streets. Then you get Epstein, Jeffrey Epstein, who calls the average American citizen or anybody who's not Jewish, goyim, derogative term used to, again, basically identify anybody who doesn't have the, you know, the chosen status. Even if they are secular Jews and don't believe in the person who chose them in the first place. Interesting time in American politics. I'm just a regular guy. I mean, and I see some of the comments, and I just want to say out there to everybody in the audience, and I want to talk to the right. I mean, we see who our enemy is, and if you're mistaken about that, then you got some soul searching to do. But let me talk to some of these critics for a moment. One, I think you're soft. I think you're the same type of soft as they are on the left, just in a different way. I think that the left has wrapped itself in an anti-American anti-white, anti-heterosexual, anti-anything traditional, anti-anything common sense for the most part. And you can, if you need a reality check about just how dire the situation is, when you get a moment, go ahead and click on over to the Grammys. And there you can see the same sort of cosmopolitan multinational elite, the global citizen folks of the entertainment business, who were, by the way, heavily involved, it would appear, with the Jeffrey Epsteins of the world. Go on over and see how they're making fun of President Trump and you all in the audience. That's the most important part. It's not about President Trump. It's about you all. And never forget, President Trump, with all of his flaws, things you agree with, disagree with, for the first time in my lifetime, 34 years, he put common sense back up on the totem pole for American politics, and he put the American working class in the room. Now, you can look at these Epstein files and say, man, President Trump's name is littered all through there, and there is no excuse for it. We can't make an excuse for it. It is what it is. Again, he wasn't implied in doing anything untoward or anything with any young women, so there's that in saving grace for him. But he was implicated in the files. A lot of people implicated in the files. And need I say, if we went and we looked through a lot of people's browser history, we'd find a lot of things that are somewhat untoward of for all of us. And I'm not caping up for him. I'm just saying, what does it say about the rest of us? What does it say with all of your criticisms about President Trump and you know, he's carrying water for Israel, and he certainly needs to reevaluate how much Israel influence there is in this administration and in this country with no equivocations that must happen. We'll see if it does. And if it does, this country may not survive, or it may not survive in a way that we want. But with all that being said, even with him being in these files, what does it say about the rest of us that he was the first person who really put the status quo of American politics on notice? What does it say about us, we the people, for all of my patriots out there in the audience? Let me give you that good talking to like a great football coach does. What does it say about the rest of us that the guy who came to practice about half the time played harder than we did? What does that say about us? See, I come from the sports world, and whether it's mixed martial arts or basketball or any of these other sports, played a lot of them over the course of my life. First thing we deal with is us. How did this happen? And I'll give you an example. This guy's name, I think his name is Gunther Eagleman. Is that his name? I don't know. He's popping up right now. I just saw him pop up on my ex again. And there are a lot of these, you know, social media influencers in the conservative circles. A lot of these guys who have, you know, shot to the top. It's kind of conspicuous, even in some sense, how these people just shoot to the top out of nowhere by posting, you know, what they call red meat for the base, is what they call in the political world. But anyway, I mean, he's on there promoting this whole Fox News. There he is. Yes, thank you, in the control room. See, got guys like this. I don't even know who this guy is. He's a political commentator, America First and MAGA, Christian. Now, you tell me, and this is what I'm getting to. Bring the picture back up. I want to, because we're coming to a divide here now in this country. And you tell me, and go ahead back to the bio. I want to look at the numbers in the mail. I want to look at the description, and I want to look at the numbers. Okay. Yeah, at one point, I believe that this screen's a little far from me, but over 1 million followers. Political commentator, America First, MAGA, Christian. And scroll down a little bit. I think we'll probably find this here, right? Right in his recent feed. Go ahead and scroll down. Just scroll down a little bit. I think you'll find a promotion of Michelle Tafoya here, in the near posts. And keep scrolling down. Keep scrolling down. There's President Trump. There's, gotta have some Gavin Newsom, slop in there. Gavin Newsom makes for great entertainment, because he's definitely the goofy. Oh, Mom Donnie, you know, there it is. Yes, yeah, not here. Well, anyway, nevertheless, I'm tagged in this post. You can take it away now. It's okay. I'm tagged in a post. You find the Michelle Tafoya post when you get a chance there in the control room. I'm tagged in a post where he's promoting Michelle Tafoya. Why? Because she's on Fox News. Why is she on Fox News? Because the NRSC recruited her. Why did the NRSC recruit her? Because they think that she will do their bidding. And what is their bidding? Well, Tim Scott told you what their bidding is. You know, Rand Paul showed you the 21 United States senators that didn't vote to scale back the administrative state, to take a scalpel to the spending. He showed you who they are. And there's even a few of them that know they have to vote with the America First and MAGA folks just to save face for their constituents. Because if not, then the cat will be too far out of the bag. But there's enough of them right there in the no column to tell you what the NRSC's agenda really is. What's the NRSC's agenda? Unfettered, unlimited, military-industrial complex spending. There you go. There it is. You got Gunther Eagleman. I don't know if he's been paid or commissioned to promote Michelle Tafoya, who, again, was a sideline reporter for 30 years. Never forget that the NFL, just like many other professional sports institutions, mandated that their employees get vaccinated under the threat of termination. And there are a lot of you conservatives and Christians out there that took the vaccine. We understand. A lot of propaganda, a lot of fear. Even President Trump himself at one to warp speed. We got it. Mistake on his part. And I think he's trying to go out of his way to remedy that by letting RFK Jr. take a hatchet to the vaccine industry and the medical industrial complex as a whole, which is a buried lead in this entire administration. Despite all the other things happening domestically and internationally, RFK Jr. is taking a hatchet. I mean, a blindside hatchet to the medical industrial complex, and they're freaking out about it. While all of this is going on, they need to double RFK Jr. security, because he's the one who's actually cleaning the house and making some transformative changes. But anyway, you know, I got off on a tangent. Point being, Michelle Tafoya, 30 years as a broadcaster, a sideline reporter for the NFL, and you just don't spend 30 years as a commentator or a sideline reporter or even a figure or voice in a professional sports institution unless you have a completely apolitical persona, an apolitical profile. You can't have a controversial position on anything, which tells you the type of person she is. She's a sellout on arrival. SOA, sellout on arrival, Michelle Tafoya. Recruited by the NRSC, already endorsed her, already putting up posts of her. Why? Because the last thing they want is somebody like me to win another endorsement, to win another primary, to find myself in a very close race with a Lieutenant Governor Peggy Flanagan, who by all reports, it would seem, was in fact in the signal chat to subvert this nation's immigration enforcement. I mean, going to be difficult, and I mean very, very difficult, even for Minnesota Democrats and plumb line Republicans to look away from Peggy Flanagan's involvement in what we can safely call an insurrection here in Minnesota. Going to be very, very difficult. Unless you get two affluent, female, white, urban, liberal women. And, you know, there's something to be said. I don't know what it is, but I've noticed that a lot of these conservative men, let's call you cuckservative men, like a woman with a nice, strong, masculine voice like Michelle Tafoya's. I'm actually quite embarrassed by it, to be honest. A lot of you conservative, better call you cuckservative men, like a woman, a pretty woman, well-dressed, with a strong masculine voice. There's a reason why Marjorie Taylor Greene, and I like Marjorie Taylor Greene, I think she's got a nice set of cojones on her, bigger than some of the others in Congress, obviously, whether I agree or disagree, you know, like with Marjorie, I disagree. We're not leaving illegal immigrants because they work in your company, Marjorie. That's not how the principle works, sister. Sorry, sweetheart. That's not how the principle works. The illegal immigrants that came to this country, whether they're in your company or Monsanto, Cargill, whether they're in the field, the Cambodian killing fields of the Bible Belt, wherever they're at, they're going back. Okay. Point blank, end of story. I don't agree with Marjorie on everything, but she's definitely got some spine. The point I'm making is that all of these Republican men sat by for decades, for generations. And how does a Marjorie Taylor even come to prominence in the Congress in the first place? Because she's tougher than the rest of the men. And the rest of the men kind of get off by sitting back and watching her. It's like, yeah, we got the same problem both sides of the aisle. Apropos to my point about even this audience, and I see all of these bots. I don't know if they're bots. I don't know if they're real people. I don't know if the America First, quote unquote, the America First wing is now outflanking, you know, the Alex Jones and InfoWars. You know, I don't know what the hell is going on out there, but let me just tell it to you straight, okay? Bottom line is this. You get the government you deserve, and by God, we all will. If you don't like your leaders, change it. You lead. If you don't like your leaders and your leadership, if you don't like the talking heads, if you don't like what you see, if you don't like the way things are going, there's a way to deal with that. Get involved. But if you resign, you're a Judeo-Buddhist. If you resign, you're just a Judeo-Buddhist. That's what the Judeo-Buddhists do. They resign, like the Buddha. They go meditate. You're not meditating, you know, they go sit in their solitude and they try and reach enlightenment, individual enlightenment, you know, nirvana. Sometimes they fall short, send themselves into a psychotic break. They end up on heroin or what God knows, whatever else. And before you know it, they flatline and you end up suicidal or whatever the case may be. And you're on your way to hell. I mean, you know, it's big enough for everybody. It's big enough for everybody out there. Just saying. But we're living through a form of hell here. And, you know, it gets really hellacious when you look to your right and your left and you can't trust anybody anymore. I understand that. But there is something to be said for holding the ranks, holding the line. And I guess, you know, Fox News could try and say that they're doing that, but in reverse. They're like, well, we don't really like President Trump. That's like not that Rupert Murdoch or any of the other band of banditos there at Fox News, the neocon banditos and the Fox News cohort are any better by any stretch of the imagination. But I guess they could say, hey, we're stuck with President Trump for now. So, you know, we're going to wait until the Bush junta can take back the Republican Party in 2028, starting in 2026 through NRSC chair Tim Scott and far right wing by the liberal standards, but moderate, milquetoast, pro-choice, Michelle Tafoya. I mean, what does a Gunther Eagleman, a man who has Christian in his bio, what in what world does he find himself endorsing or promoting a pro-choice moderate Republican? I mean, they're just right up in your face with it. They're right up in your face with it. And there are a bunch of Minnesota Republicans. And here's the problem with it. If you people want to be pro-choice, just come out and say it. Then we can actually get to the point where we find out the Democrats don't really even disagree with us on the pro-choice, pro-life matter. They really do want a communist form of government that's anti-white, right? They really do want a feminist form of government or a feminist culture that is anti-male. We could actually get there if the Republican Party just wants to give up the pro-life position. I'm not willing to, and I'm willing to lose to hold that principle. But if the Republican Party wants to move on over to the left, then go on ahead. You go on right ahead. But just be honest about it. Just be honest about it. Don't say, oh, well, Royce White, this dumb Goyim Negro from the neighborhood has 4 children by 3 women out of wedlock, and that makes him unqualified because that's not conservative. But, you know, if you're a decent-looking middle-aged white woman with a masculine voice who was a sideline reporter and you're pro-choice, oh, you're perfect. I mean, these are the lies that we tell ourselves that only end up crushing the foundation of any type of defense we want to mount against these people, these type of contradictions. The weight of American politics is collapsing under its own contradiction. Said that wrong. I apologize. American politics is collapsing under the weight of its own contradiction. That's what I meant to say. American politics is collapsing under the weight of its own contradiction on both sides of the aisle. And Epstein, the Epstein files, oh, a good old fashioned catch 22. Got a little bit of everybody from both sides of the aisle on there. I mean, you know, these things aren't by accident. And if you want new leadership, then just vote them in. Vote them in. Demand that our elections are secure. But I venture to think that, and you correct me if I'm wrong, if we get too far out off of this dock, off of this bay, if we get too far out into the water beyond the buoy, we find that we may all end up at the doorstep of power in what some would call a sort of insurrectionist vein. So, you know, had Abe Lincoln and those folks not won the Civil War, surely they would have been called insurrectionists. And so that's where some of my constitutionalist and libertarian friends find themselves on the wrong end of reality. History and definitions, terms, status is often determined by the winner. And so we have to choose which principles are a priority to hold and move people toward the principle and which ones aren't. Because even Christians, like we find a way to justify lying in the fog of war. I said this the other day. There's a great microcosm in our country becoming the byproduct of a global military industrial complex and what is required to maintain a global military industrial complex. Lies are required to maintain that. Lies and deception are required to maintain a global military industrial complex. And some of it was perpetrated by Christians. So some of it falls on us. Some of it falls on the people of Kentucky. Massey, and Rand. I'm not sure how it's taken this long for Mitch McConnell to be able to comfortably retire from the United States Senate when you two have been there for most of your adult life. Why didn't you mount up a resistance and get Mitch McConnell out of there? Why didn't you turf him out a long time ago? But see, and then this is what bothers me. With all of those logical and reasonable questions on the table, all those chips up on the bar, you all find a way to make Alex Jones somehow be the scapegoat, the target of your frustration. The guy who's been bringing it to you real and raw for 30, excuse my French, fucking years. Since the early 90s, I'm 34. For 30 fucking years. You find a way to make him the target of your frustration? You know what that's called? That's called displaced anger. You know, it's just being mad at the guy who's happened to be in the car with you because you don't want to really bring any real smoke to the people who are screwing you. That's what that's called. That's called a cop out. It's like, oh, Alex Jones, you sold out. It's like, then I find people who don't even know me and I see you in the comments saying that I'm still wearing the red hat. My hat says make Minnesota great again, and make America great again is not a sentiment that is dependent on any one person. If President Trump had taken 3 bullets in the head and them trying to assassinate him does tell you something about who he is and what he means in this moment of time. But had he taken passed on that day, the MAGA movement would still continue because it's a sentiment about this country. It's a sentiment about this nation and our future. It's a sentiment about the spirit of the citizens, we the people. It's a sentiment that this country can be great, this country has seen greatness, and that this country can be great again. It's a sentiment. It's not about one individual. It's not about one personality or a set of personalities. It's about the people. And as soon as I see you displace your entire political worldview onto one man's shortcomings or flaws, I know that you're just as much of a scapegoat artist as the people on the left in the streets. Hell, you're in some ways, you're even more cowardly than them. Because at least they have the impulse to say, screw this, we're going to the streets. Even if it's fake and theatrical and dramatic. Even if it's corny. Even if they're wearing COVID masks and throwing their 120-pound body in front of 4,000-pound SUVs. Yeah, they're goofy and nerdy, and it's pretty much fake and drama. But they do find themselves out in the streets. And we find ourselves in the comments or on the message boards or, you know, at our local watering hall, the pub or wherever we're at, you know, the local Republican event, you know, passing opinions and gossip like a bunch of schoolgirls. I'm just going to tell it to you straight. You better get ready here. And maybe you are, you know, maybe you got your guns and your ammo and your nice little corner of the country, your nice little plot of land, and you're ready to live and defend yourself until your dying breath, and more power to you. God bless you. God bless you. Deus vult. God wills it. Sure. I understand. But if you want to be involved in the conversation, if you want to be involved in politics, it is a participation sport. So we have to ask ourselves right now, do we abandon ship? Do we abandon ship and say to hell with it? Let the Zora Mamdanis have the country. To hell with it. Let the Zora Mamdanis and the rest of the communist cadre or whoever they really are underneath. Maybe they're communists. Maybe they're globalists and playing dress up. Who knows? A lot of things could be going on. But when you start to make the claim that the Alex Joneses of the world are no better than the Zora Mamdanis, I wonder where you find yourself in that whole equation. It's like, boy, your next step better be, I won't even say, but I do wonder. Some days I wake up and I look out and I read and I just think to myself, what is really going on here? What are people thinking? I tell you what I'm thinking. Minnesota caucus is February 3rd. If you don't want the Michelle Tafoya pro-choice moderate rhino establishment Republicans to take the Minnesota Republican Party, I'd hit the caucuses February 3rd. That way you can be involved in the endorsement process, which will weigh heavily on who gets the primary nomination come August. Thank you again for being here this Sunday. I'm your guest host, Royce White. God bless. Godspeed. We'll see you next time. Thank you.
I love knives. I know you love knives. They have finally gotten a whole bunch of the knives that were sold out back in, and they've gotten a bunch of new, really nice flip knives. These bad boys right here. I mean, these are absolutely amazing. Flip really easy and locks for you. This is forest green, murdered out. It's got my little signature on it, so it's a little piece of history. It's a great memento. It's a great gift for your friends and family, and it funds the operation. And they're up to 50% off right now at thealexjonesstore.com. While you're there, get some ultramethylene blue.
What do you got there, Angel Eyes?
It's a new Patriot Silver Folding Knife from thealexjonesstore.com.
Hey, Blondie, look at me. I got all three.
Energy shots have been all the rage for decades because they really work. But most of them are full of dyes and toxic stimulants and have huge crashes. We set out to develop a product at thealexjonesstore.com that has all the very best adaptogens, nootropics to biohack your body and not just help your brain, but every cell in your entire body. We've done it, ladies and gentlemen. Mind Fuel is next level with no letdown, no crash. It is very strong. So I take half a shot in the morning, half in the afternoon, and it's just amazing. And again, the effects go on for days and days and days because these are super nutrients that are in Mind Fuel. For the time I have here, I can't tell you all the incredible ingredients. So go to thealexjonesstore.com and look at what is in it, and of course, proprietary herbal ingredients as well. Go now to thealexjonesstore.com and secure your mind fuel and be the reason we'll always be on the air. Thank you so much for your support. If you love our other products, you're going to love Mind Fuel.